هذا ومن هو الكتاب في ثمن الذهب in one of the meetings that we had earlier on, especially when you were briefing us about the manager of this department, Public Works, and the added mandate to infrastructure, you reflected that the PMTE was to set up a public works academy with the South African Property Association, SAPOA, to capacitate the PMTE. We then resolved that we would then need a full update on that one. So the reason we have this meeting today, it is because of that. I think today there are many new faces on your side, DG, so would really appreciate if you would introduce the team. We may know one or two, but others are new to us. We've met with you several times, but we are seeing new faces today. If I may introduce to your team the members that are here today. On the front row, we have Honorable Samantha Graham, who is from DA. We have Honorable Hicklin, who is also from DA. We have Honorable Siwisa, who is from EFF. Honorable Van Steiden, who is from FF Plus. Honorable Matebula, from the ANC. Honorable Franz Kalvik, also from the ANC. Other members will join us. Honorable Mashele from the ANC. Honorable Jobo from the ANC. They will also join us. DG, over to you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable members. The new faces might be this one. She's Madam Hlubikazi Zibi. She's a researcher in the area of the academy. I'll explain. And then this face, you should know this face. It's part of the furniture of Public Works. She has been in this space for quite some time. It should be a long time ago. When I came, I found her. That's why I say she qualifies to be new furniture. I'm also part of the furniture. She's Madam Lydia Biki. She's the DDG Professional Services. The academy concept is going to fall under her. On my left is Mr. Ayanda Dagela. He's in the Program Management Office of the PMTE. And then Mr. Masuku there, he's in the Professional Services also. Mr. Vat Mukutu is the DDG Construction Management. And then our colleague, you know our colleague already. She's the Chief Audit Executive, Rendani. And then Tate Maslaelo, she's in the DG's office. Thanks very much.
DG?
Thanks very much. This presentation should not take long. I think this is one of the easiest thing because there's no academy as yet in the department. We are in a conceptual stage, throwing various thinkings in the programs or for the academy. However, despite the issue of for conceptualizing an academy, there are programs of capacity building of the PMTE in the built environment professions. When Shubika's present, she'll indicate already as to what is there, what is in place, will welcome a lot of suggestions, because she's still having a lot of meetings with various stakeholders in this area of conceptualizing the academy, because a need was identified that as a department we need to create our own capacity, not to rely on the private sector or higher education institutions, because of the unique nature of the public service. I think also in this area, we assist the young graduates in the built environment professions to be assisted with the technical experience for purposes of ensuring that they register as professionals. This work is not done by us alone. We are working with the CBE, because the CBE is the custodian of built environment professions. So they were supposed to be here also, the CBE, but I think in future when we discuss this matter, we'll bring them on board. But as it stands now, we cannot point to say there's an academy here, but we can actually come up with various concepts that we're having in our minds. I will give over to Madam Zivi to take us through, and then after we can engage with the presentation. Thanks very much.
Thank you, DJ. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, like it's mentioned before, my name is Hlubekazi Zivi, and my topics are covered under the contents, and I'll go right straight to our mandate in terms of professional service as a branch. Our mandate is to strengthen the state capacity, technical capacity, and to also support the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure with its turnaround strategy. And it is to also support the seven priorities, the presidency's seven priorities. Why are we doing this? It is to really centralize the effort of professionalism in the built environment and to standardize and improve efficiencies, because we realize that these training or capacity buildings that are done in different departments, they are in isolation. So we don't really have the stats to really see if whether we are progressing. And it is also to look at the oversight and to understand where are the gaps within government institutions that are implementing infrastructure. This idea will also help us now to monitor and evaluate where the skills are needed. What are we looking at? We are looking at, in terms of all states, in terms within the states, we are looking at structures like your transport, your superstructures, your water, your energy, municipal infrastructure, and your SIPs. So who are involved? Who are the stakeholders involved? It's your stakeholders. It's your state-owned enterprise, it's your public works infrastructure, provincial and entities, and it's your water and sanitation and so on. Why do we want to enable, why we want to integrate? We want to understand so that we can have a bigger master plan, so that these stats can actually mean something in terms of planning and implementing. We also want to understand where the capacity lies on, where are the gaps. Is it on the policy side? Is it actually the processes, because some municipalities as well, or even provincial, have issues with your systems? So as professional service in terms of building this capacity, we are addressing the demand of lack of capacity within public works infrastructure and public works family. We also want to address the inability of existing skills and the ongoing lack of transformation. So we are trying to identify and transform the skills and the competences within senior management, middle management, professionals, candidates, and artisans. That means we can actually start consolidating the effort within government and feedback to the stats. So this academy is actually there to orientate existing employees who are managing the state's assets to really understand and start using best practice. So on your left-hand side, we are currently collecting information within institutions to understand what are the skills required and the skills planning? How are they planning in terms of absorbing the beneficiaries, and how internally, how are we utilizing them? But more than anything else, we're also looking into a funding process. So those are the enablers to actually implement this academy. But how we envisage this academy in terms of operationalizing it, it is within the built environment. We need to understand the contact development. So we have existing institution. We're not reinventing the wheel. You're in universities and technical universities and so on. They already have modules and learning materials that can actually be utilized for existing employees and obviously for candidates and bursaries. So we need to align that and the accreditation. That's where now your CBE comes in as well, understand the accreditation of each professional. So in terms of professional registration, it's important to integrate with stakeholders that that have these requirements of, for instance, an engineer, being a professional engineer, so we will interact with your EXA. So the academy is to therefore align and orientate what needs to be there to upgrade the skills. How are we going to deploy the content? It is through, for instance, existing employees, your e-learning platform, where there are certain courses that are available online that can actually be available to across the region to save costs and to also broadcast. And we also have the constructionarium, like the DG has mentioned, that there's a challenge of candidates that do not find experience. So this constructionarium, it's a concept coming from the UK, but how we implement it in South Africa, it means that we utilize the projects that we have, especially the backlog project, where now candidates can participate and we can utilize mentors who understand the requirements of these registrations and accreditations. We're also partnering with partner institutions like your SAPOA and so on, so that we don't reinvent the wheel, but utilize them for the competencies that is required. What's nice about it is that existing employees can actually have an integrated career development plan where the learner management system would actually provide, profile each employee and provide each learner to what is required for them to be competent and professional. To elaborate further, in terms of the content development, we're already in talks with and agreements as we have meetings quarterly with your CBE and councils to really align this orientation so that we can have a one voice. We also interacting with universities and private institutions and technical universities that are focused on asset management on all different life cycles, your facilities management, your asset management, your investment, and so on. We're also interacting with your TVETs that are providing the skills for your artisans. There's also obviously the government academies that are already existing where we're tapping into the courses that are available that are linked to the strategy of the of public works. Now, how we envisage academy is, like I said, we're not reinventing the wheel, but we need to have a physical structure that actually coordinates and orientates and ensures that everyone is educated. So we are looking into this academy, and we've already identified a building in Pretoria, so whereby especially for public works, they can actually utilize the institutions that are doing training to come to us rather than having to spend a lot of money having to go to them. But more than anything, it is to orientate the competencies for the organization to operationalize itself to managing the state's assets. We're currently busy trying to interact with the stakeholders so that when we have the funding And when we integrate this system, we can actually tap into existing institutions that whereby we can have links so that for a specific implementation or specific role, if somebody wants to register, for instance, financial or economics or investment, they can actually interact with existing institutions across the country. What is our methodology? Our vision is to really, when you're looking at asset management, it doesn't just involve your functional lines. It also involves the shared services. And we've identified the gap to say, but we need to start orientating the understanding of what the shared service, how it's supposed to support the functional lines. And the functional lines need to really understand, and they need to have the right competencies. So what is our reference point? Our reference point is to utilize the ISO standards and to utilize GIAMA and IDMS that actually assist in managing the state's assets. And obviously the technical standards that are within your CBE councils. So it needs to be starting to induct those kind of courses, even auditing. So now, who are we targeting? We are targeting odd levels of role players within managing state's assets. So your asset management planning evolves from top to bottom. So it's important that we educate and orientate even the leaders themselves. So there are certain elements and key things that are needed. If you look at your providers, you'll find that the providers are actually where artisans are really involved. So that means that they need to really understand your conditions assessment. It needs to be orientated and inducted efficiently. They need to understand certain elements. So those are the programs we're focusing on in this academy. Like I said, we're not reinventing the wheel. So the academy programs, like I mentioned, the training group is targeted those who've already done your asset management, your engineering, and so on. It's also targeting at your non-technical people, for instance, security management and even your operational teams that are involved in day-to-day basis. If we're looking at the academy implementing strategy, its program and direction involves a lot of governance, your capacity management, how we're really going to keep the resource and build the resource in-house, how we're really going to look at the success of it and how we're going to report, and how is our financial management going to now recover all the costs that we spend into managing this. And the standards and services in terms of training and documentations under the operations to make sure that this e-learning platform is really, it reaches across the country, and the concessionarium, it actually addresses the gap of professionals or of candidates to be professionals and so on. Progress to date, we have agreement with SAPOA. So we have already started to upskill existing employees and for professional registration. And we also have, with IREM, Institute for Real Estate Management, there's a chapter there. So we're starting to enroll some of the employees. In terms of 2019, 2020, our APP targets as professional service. We have 40 schools program that are already enrolled for the built environment at universities, and we also have 40 bursary schemes beneficiary completed on the built environment qualification, and we have about 1,212 beneficiaries participating in the skills program. The list is your young professionals, your interns, your learnership, your management trainees, your artisan trainees, your youth bursary program. So on the establishment of the academy, it's important that it is sustainable And like a DG mentioned, it's still on conceptual stage, but it's important the proper planning happens. And like we've identified the buildings, so we've identified as well the direct cost and the overheads that are going to be assisting us to operationalize the coordination of it and the orientation of it. Quick rules for the program, and the Academy is saying that there is lack of coordination and understanding who's doing what. We are currently signing MOUs with government academies, so we are looking at their curriculum and we're looking at the cost, and we are agreeing how we're actually going to now assign this training. And we're also looking at the adoption of CIDB standards for development of skills, meaning that now government contracts, they need to have a certain percentage to provide these skills on each project. We're also looking at the deployment of artisan trainees and young professional to prestige portfolios. And we're also looking at the development and accreditation of learning programs across. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. Two quick questions for clarity. What does SIPS stand for? SIPS and HEIs, what are those? I don't know those acronyms. Then my other question is it only applicable to existing employees, or will you be inviting people from outside? In other words, I'm not completely grasping how this academy works, and maybe I'm just being slow, but I can't understand if this is going to be an add-on thing that we do for existing professionals or people who've already got a certain level of education or whatever, so that we can professionalize, or if we're also going to be taking people straight out of school and educating them as well and running those sort of programs. If you're using existing employees, how are you going to then get course fees? Because if they're already existing employees, who's going to pay for them to do the courses? Will it be other departments, or how does that work? You spoke about a 40 schools, it says 40 schools program enrolled. I don't understand what that means. If you could just clarify that for me, please. And then and you've sort of given the progress, but I don't understand exactly where we're at. You're talking about envisaging an academy, so you've got an idea for premises and what it's going to look like, but you're actually using other facilities for the training. So is it necessary for us to have those sort of facilities when we can be piggybacking on existing programs and things, and is that not just a duplication of costs? So I think those are mine for the time being. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. A lot of what I was going to ask was covered by Member Graham. The question that I have is quite similar in that you're saying that you're working with existing TVET colleges and universities. It's almost like we are trying to create a university or an academy when such already exists. Would it not be more financially viable to actually tailor modules at existing facilities to meet our needs so that we add on to their existing programs instead of reinventing the wheel by opening an academy? But if we have our hearts set on opening an academy, what funding model are you going to use? Again, very similar to what Honourable Member Graham asked. And when do you envisage this academy opening? Because from what I'm understanding, this is not a new concept. This is a ball that's been kicked around for a number of years. So if we're still kicking the ball around at concept stage, will my grandchildren actually be in this academy? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think some of the questions have been asked, but my question will be based on the idea around the academy was to capacitate the department, if I'm correct. And now you are speaking of higher education institutions and all those things. And I would go with what my colleague is saying, that if we can get an institution that can give us what we want to capacitate and focus on getting funds, I don't know where the funds are going to come from. Maybe we'll get the clarity as to where the funds come from. And try to take our staff or staff of Department of Public Works to go and do these courses to capacitate them so that work should be productive, because right now it's a total mess. We don't know whether we are going forward or backward. We are still trying to learn as to what's going on. And also another thing, maybe an approach that you can take is actually liaise with certain schools and try to build these kids from a certain grade, let's say grade 9, try to identify kids that you know that, okay, Mama Xibi, one way or the other, they're going to go on pension. So we can't be capacitating Mama Xibi forever. We need to get the younger blood in. So we go to that level down to say, we want your potential learners in school because we want to do this. Because we mustn't plan for now. We must plan for the future. It mustn't be something that's going to end today. So maybe if you can get into that approach, Yokuti, let's go down to the level of schools and high schools and everything. And then what's the relationship between, are we taking matriculants and taking them to school to focus on this area, or are we only focusing on the workers that are already there? And another question would be on the graduates that you are giving bursaries to. What happens to them, excluding that they are getting internships? Are we having a guarantee that we spend on these graduates, they get internship, they actually get employed by the Department of Public Works, and where's the funding going to come from? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just three questions this round. More clarity-seeking questions. I just want to know if there's the department could provide us with a date when this academy will finally be implemented and up and running. And the second question is, what will the total cost be for implementation of this academy? And the third question is it's related to my other colleague's question, who will be able to use this academy, from what age and from where? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Well, from time to time, I think it is a struggle of departments to improve the capacity of the human resource. Now, with what is presented before us here, 316 officials were trained, 86 officials, warawara and all that. Do we have a retention strategy such that after giving these skills to these people that we need the most. We don't lose them to the private sector. What is our strategy to make sure that we get value for money after skilling these people? At what cost? Probably, let me reverse. What will cost the department to make sure that the academy is up and running? Particularly at this time that the economy is not doing well and the department is suffocating, is saving less oxygen. Thank you very much.
No one else, please? Okay. Just a comment from me. Let's appreciate first the presentation from the team. But I would also want to check, is there any program for training that you are doing so that we maintain the sites that we have? Before you, just before lunch, they reported that union buildings is like more than 100 years in existence. Are we training the management? We're talking here about the academy that is to assist the PMTE. I believe those sites, they also are part of the assets of Public Works. But I would also echo some of what my other colleagues have said. Have you thought of trying to engage the universities that they have these modules as part of in what they study, the young people, other than having a school attached to the department? Thank you.
Yes. Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The critical question is more in the area of funding. The concept that is being devised, which I think we engaged extensively on it, we were looking into a program wherein we fuse into this the training program that is run by the School of Government, which is already an institution whose purpose is to train. Now, because ours is biased on the built environment professions, the approach that we're going to take was that whilst government ensure that it is budgets for training for public servants, we have a space there wherein we accommodate the built environment professions. It's one of the concepts. The other concept that is available, which already we engage on, was that because this is a program that in nature should be more practical, we put into our business processes, as and when we bring in service providers to do work, build environment work in the department, there is a requirement that they should fuse in their training programs to include these young graduates so that they should not fall into the cracks. They should actually get first-hand practical experience from the implementation, because we look into our spend in terms of the projects and so on. We should not just spend for purposes of ensuring that we get out assets at the end of the day, but in the process there should be a training program. with respect to the area of there's an area which relates to the school program. I think my colleague is going to cover that, because this program will start these children from grade 10. But I think the detail will be provided. We start them at grade 10. And then this program is not only meant for employees of the department. It's mainly meant for young graduates. It came out of a realization that many of our young graduates, they are building environment professions. They take a long time to be admitted as professionals. Now we take them on board, we assist them with practical experience and actually assign mentors to them, out of which we also assist them to register as candidates, and we also see them through into the completion of their programs. Now the question comes as to what happens at the end of qualification. I think also it's one area that we are saying we are not working alone in this area. We need to ensure that we work with the private sector to ensure that as and when we provide them work, we need to ensure that they are also part and parcel of that program. There's also another question which I think my colleagues are going to cover, these other questions. The area of the date of the academy as to when. This one we don't have an answer. Some of the inputs and questions that honorable members have put, we'll take them as contributions which will strengthen the work that we're actually researching on to ensure that we improve in these areas. The gaps that have been identified here, they are going to be assisting us to close them going forward, because out of the deliberations here, we're actually identifying some of the gaps. But I'll ask my colleagues to respond to some of these questions. And then I will also give the DDG projects to indicate as to which projects have been identified, if any, to ensure that we include this.
Just to add, so we will add, thank you, honorable members. We normally say in public works, when we take kids from grade 10, in actual fact, we stay with them for more than 15 years. We take them through the school process. We've got school programs, we've got bursary programs, mentorship programs, that I say, when they get to university and pass, you must understand, we are targeting, at this point in time, we are targeting built environment. Just to give you a background, a little bit of on that, we're realizing actually that we've got quite a lot of institutions. As the Department of Public Works, we are responsible for councils, the councils that are responsible for curriculum, so that you get your built environment professional certificate. Getting deeper in discussing the academy, I know I'm moving on quite a lot of areas. As we're getting deeper in looking at the academy, we avoid that duplication. We started to realize the gaps when we're talking with our department, provincial department. We realize actually that we don't have capacity at government. I'm sure you have realized that by seeing that actually some of the projects, they fail to be completed. Why would we do that when we've got budgets? We realize different levels of capacity in various departments. We are, how many, all the provinces, including the national department. When you look at the capacity that we're supposed to have as each department, we actually don't have the capacity. That's one of the challenges that we've realized. The second one is the realization, working with CBE, realization that in actual fact, there's no transformation. In the presentation, mentioned the issue of transformation. You find that we've got fewer women or fewer black people that are actually registering in a built environment profession. The reason we are getting embarking in this academy, one member mentioned, I think it was one of the members, in AfroTech, starting with ourselves as a department, we realized when we're constituting the PMTE that we don't have the capacity that we're supposed to have to manage the portfolio that we have as Department of Public Works. So we started to roll this out with the provinces. And now with the infrastructure added in the mandate of the department, it's even more important. We know there are TVET colleges, there are academies that are out there, but we don't know who is doing what. And as a result, we'll realize the gaps. The reason for the academy is to make sure that we've got a repository of information. We know who's doing what. We are very mindful of the fact that we don't want to duplicate. We avoid that at all costs. The academies that are existing want to share information in terms of what they are doing instead of us going to do exactly what they are doing. So those are some of the things that I wanted to. One of the things that we started as a department, you will know that from the presentations that we have done as a department in the portfolio committee, and I don't know how many have been done, is that we've got this huge portfolio. To manage it, we get private sector to help us. We are saying as professional services, to see the performance of the professional services, at some point there must be reduction of the money that we budget for the management by private sector. It must be managed internally. It's still a debate, but eventually we want to do our the management of our assets. I think a question was asked about our training for internal capacity to manage the building. That's where we're going. We started to do that. It should be in the presentation mentioned a couple of programs. For instance, just to talk about a small thing that is asset management. You will go to the, let's say, Public Works Gauteng or Public Works Eastern Cape or National Public Works. When we talk about asset management, we don't know what kind of services we should provide. We're not talking the same language. So the academy starts by bringing us together as government institutions. We don't talk only government departments, but also entities. We must have one language. We must know where we are short of skills. If we are not talking as we exist now in government and public entities and education institutions, we are actually going to find those gaps. I just wanted to add that, so we will talk through the details.
You mentioned that the definition, what's the six terms for your strategic integrated projects and your HCIs, actually your human capital investment that is focusing within public works infrastructure that is starting to build and has some programs like your school programs focusing on maths and science in high schools. Okay, so the schools program, we actually adopt schools that are performing across the country, and we try to understand their challenges and to make sure that these individuals, they actually get qualified and get entrances to university. So they receive bursaries. So what happens every year, we meet to award these bursaries, but we also go to these schools to monitor and see where the challenges are, and we learn from them how they're doing it well. And we try to go to even those schools that are underperforming to understand where the challenge is. Obviously, we cannot reach to everyone. Hence, the professional service, we cannot lie and say we're already there. But the whole idea is to understand where are the gaps, actually, across the countries. How can we integrate, and who's responsible to make sure that these individuals are actually, even the courses that they register in universities, are they still relevant? So this is the massive program, because we're looking at the whole entire skills pipeline. And if you're looking at the whole skills pipeline, like I mentioned earlier, is that there's no integration to understand exactly if we have resources somewhere we can actually use the same individuals and place them somewhere else. So what we're trying to do, we're not trying to place anyone's mandate, but we're trying to say, what are really the challenges that we have? Do we have challenges of policies or programs? How are these individuals? And it's a very important information in terms of the retention strategy, because we find that we need to actually, we're starting to meet up with your HRDs. That's why we need the master plan to understand how is it exactly you are saying that you're building capacity. For instance, in our meeting, in our committees, when we meet with provinces, we're trying to understand when they plan for their capacity building, especially your artisan, how exactly the retention strategies. And there are some challenges there because of their policies and how we actually need to address it. Unfortunately, we haven't really consolidated a bigger picture of what we're trying to envisage. But it is to say, let us start doing something to say who is actually providing this curriculum, these services. And we just found out as we go to province by province that there are so many institutions and even government institutions that provide, but unfortunately not necessarily the technical side, but on the soft skills. So we're trying to bridge the gap to understand how do we coordinate. But in terms of competencies for public works, it's very, very important that we adopt the likes of IDMS to really orientate. We've done a baseline assessment to see actually all the competencies or all the individuals that are planning for these assets, that are implementing these assets, what type of qualification do they have? Do they really understand what is there that needs to be done? So we found an opportunity to say, but hang on, the current offerings, for instance, for your IDMS are quite expensive. So we really need to start in-house educating, but we're not closing for the outside. But now for the outside, what's important is these individuals who cannot register as professionals, so that even if they're not retained within public works, but they can actually work anywhere else being professional. So what we can provide for them is actually practical training for them. I don't know what other questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. Currently, just to add, we have our contribution in terms of the academy and professional services, where capacity is being built on behalf of the operation side of PMTE. We get graduates from university, and then we put them through a candidacy program for a period of 3 years. We attach them to mentors. They get mentored based on their professional disciplines over what is required for them to become professionally registered and responsible built environment professionals. The intention really is to try to have the capacity on behalf of public works, because currently, if we look in the market, the skills are sitting in the private sector, and we want to have the skills in the public sector, so that over a long term, we are able to reduce the reliance on contractors and consultants in particular. We have done in some regions, particularly KZN, a model where we do some projects in-house using the candidates. And then we pair the candidates with a professionally registered person. And they're able to do the designs in-house, and the work gets checked. And by so doing, we reduce the reliance on consultants. And it's a model that we would like to pilot, particularly with the academy, which will build capacity for the state, to see how we better capacitate the PMTE so that it can fully do its asset management mandate. Thank you.
Pardon? Yeah, we're through. I think we are through on this one. Because it's a conceptual program, we can speak endlessly.
No, I understand. The reality is that sometimes the explanation, it leads to other questions. I just before members come in, just after our first meeting with you, we received a correspondence from some students in Limpopo. I think you did receive that, did you? And if you hear it today, it doesn't speak to what those students are going through. This mentoring and this and absorbing and all that, it's not what, and unless it's something else. And those students, they're calling us each and every day, checking how far are you resolving their issue. Let me then give it to the second round. Honorable Sigwisa, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you, Chair. Selection based on performance schools. I'm a bit worried if we are going to focus on schools, because we are going to have learners that are performing that are going to be cut down because the school is not performing. And we've got those learners in those schools. You find a learner that comes from a school where you'd hear that the learner got 7 distinctions, but the school did not perform well. So if your selection of school programs is going to be based on the performance of the school, then we are going to close out other kids out there. And then my question would be, is this program available for the public eye? Do people know, not schools, people out there, when they get onto website of Public Works, they see that, there is this program, this is their criteria. Because if we can focus more on the learner, because the idea is to produce and not to assist the school. Because the explanation right now is, we listen to the challenges of the school, but at the end of the day, we want kids that will be able to come and assist in Public Works, and then they must be contractors and everything. But now if the program says performing school, and then we assist the school, we listen to their challenges, then we are missing the objective here. We need to focus on the kids themselves. And if the criteria is out there, it's available, any parent can get it, any person can get it, and they know there is this kid, we know this kid is going to pass. If there's any test that needs to be done, this kid is going to pass and be able to actually get the bursary or the scholarship or whatever, or maybe even be taken out of that school and be taken to a better school where the kid can actually perform. And then the question, another question is, has this program been communicated with the Department of Education? If they are on board, they know what's going on, they are able to advise. But I'm a bit disappointed that the focus is kids, but now we are assisting schools. Then we are going to miss the whole point. Thank you.
Sorry, madam. Oh, sure.
Thank you. Maybe I missed it. I never got an answer to my question as to when is the academy actually going to open.
Honourable,
thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah. Now, I also still need an answer on the total cost for the implementation of this academy. On the issue of the education department, it will be a first prize for South Africans to start with curriculums in school, like overseas countries, for training and development for the future from primary school. That would be the first prize. When you don't have to, departments don't have to sit and try to get an academy off the ground and so forth and so forth. What worries me is if I understand the GG correctly, so they said it actually had no answer on the date, am I correct? That's problematic because we can carry on with this thing and put money in it for 40, 50 years to come. So, the education department must be getting on board. These programs must be implemented from primary school because if you have a little child from, say, grade 3 and you train that child through primary school, through high school and through university in the skill that he is, entitled to can do in later in his life, what he or she have the talent to do. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. My comment, the idea is a good one. That one we all agree. And also, we also agree that this professional built environment, the male, the white, on that one we also agree. The reason we're following up the issue of Polokwane is because it is also in this field of the built environment. That is why we're following up that issue. It's because it's on this field of built environment. And those students have that cry. But the challenge is that we usually start with the program, a good idea, and then you don't understand Indoba, why has it fallen off? Did you said, though I don't like this word, but some are almost teenagers in the department. They've been there. Previously, someone said he has been in the department for more than 30 years. So in 2007, you came up with a good program, that of the National Youth Service, which were training young students for the maintenance of government buildings. It was also a good program. I was not here at the time. It was also a good program. But along the way, it fell off. This is a good program. It has not yet even started. Will it start? We really want a change, a serious transformation in that built environment. Over to you.
Thanks very much. I think it's true that we started this program. This one in particular, it peaks and drops and peaks and drops. But in the light of contributions that are being made here, we'll ensure that it's sustained. And then also on the affected young graduates, particularly there are those who, after completion, we appoint them on contracts. We look into the structure of the department where they can be accommodated. There may be those who may not be accommodated because of positions. We appoint them additional to the establishment. Now, we are working with DPSA, who are the custodian of regulations with respect to the longer-term appointment, because we don't take them through the process of interviews, strict interviews like we do, so that they must relax some of the requirements to take them on a longer-term basis, because the contract appointments are shorter for a particular period, and then when the contracts come to an end, it becomes an issue. We'll actually look into that. We'll close that gap. With respect respect to the issue of schools, it's a multiplicity of interventions here. We look into, because we advertise this program, there are those who may see it, there are those who may not see it, but I think we want to ensure that it's highly publicized. The schools that are adopted, there are those who are not doing well, there are those who are doing well. Although we are biased on built environment professions, we try to assist and then orientate the young ones whilst they are still at the lower level of education, so that they must take an interest into the built environment professions. This is what normally our colleagues go from one school to the other. But some of the contributions here, I will, as I said, there are contributions which we are going to integrate to ensure that this program does not fall on the wayside, but it's implemented fully. I think it has assisted us a lot because the majority of employees who are appointed in the Department of Public Works and other departments, they come out of this program, particularly in the technical area. We have got many of them now who are in the system. But I'll ask my colleagues to close in those areas which honorable members have raised concerns. The issue of funding. I will not say we've got a financial problem here because we're using our baseline to run this program. And then it's funding that is within the, budgeted for within the department. It's funding that we dedicated for purposes of ensuring that we build capacity in this area. We don't foresee any challenge that we may not have funding for this because it's a matter that we decide in the department to say we need to sustain this program. Maybe you can add in areas which I didn't cover.
Yes. Through you, Chair, we would like the complaint from Polokwane to follow it up. Even if we are not coming to the portfolio committee, we will in writing respond to it. We don't have the specifics now. On the specific problem of the kids. Okay. We'll follow up and forward it to you, Chair. On the selection of school, this program, I want to separate the program, the actual schooling program that we've been running as a department and the academy. The academy is not an old program. This one is relatively old. When did it start? Was it?
Yes.
2015 yes. or 2012, they're about, it's been running. It's got its, you know, weaknesses that we always appreciate the honorable members when they guide us. On selection of schools, it has its advantages, but we take note of your point. It has its advantages in that we actually adopt the kids, a number of kids in that school, there may be 10, there may be 6, but the point is that the schooling environment, all of it changes. We include parents, we include teachers, we include SGBs. As a result, they have that environment that really is built up to learn from high school. But we take your point, we'll deal with that. DJ has dealt with, has dealt with this. Yeah, you can...
There was a query about NYS.
Oh yes.
Yes. I wanted to emphasize that we have targets for NYS. It's not off our system. Yes, it's still on the program.
Yeah.
And we have part of the stimulus recovery plan. We have included NYS, and we also have included SMMEs.
Thank you, DG and the team. I am happy that you are going to inform, madam, of this.
because you have responded to us. And she speaks as if she has no knowledge of it. So I'm worried. So I'm happy that you're going to, because I was going to be worried, because it would seem as if you are not speaking to each other within the department. Because immediately when we received that complaint, we forwarded it to you, and you responded to us. So for her not to know it, it's really, really worrisome. Members, the team, Kadiji, and we really appreciate this. We will, from time to time, ask questions about this academy, because we're really interested in it seeing the light, not only in it ending on the papers as an idea, because we want transformation in the built environment. We really appreciate your presentations and the way that you have responded. I know in Duba some response were not satisfactory, not to what we expected, but we appreciate what you have given us. We hope to see you next week in our oversight visit in Gauteng, in all the entities. We'll also be there. We'll be taking notes. You have to understand you are going to be with us for the next 5 years. And we are going to ask these 37 questions. So on that one, you need to be ready all the time. Thank you, honorable members, for your time. At least today, we adjourned earlier than yesterday, so everyone can go now and touch up and ensure. Please speak with Nola for travel arrangements to Gauteng. You have to contact Nola for those and check into you will update them. The meeting is adjourned, honorable members. Thank you. Thank you.